You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, all the issues. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, hour three, Boomer.
Hour three. Wow.
I mean, I almost feel like that last hour was like a standalone show by itself. That was just,
yes.
That was way cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, and folks, I gotta just pause here and say when you find out about stuff happening, I mean, literally in your own backyard, you don't even know sometimes what the needs are down the street. You don't realize the things that people are doing to meet those needs. It's pretty humbling when you sit here and think, okay, what do I do? I talk into a microphone. I'm saving the world one soundbite at a time. But they're literally saving the world a bed at a time. And that's not even parody. That's not a joke. That's legit. They're changing a lot. Isn't that funny what changes a life? I mean, stop and think about it. A bed? This had never crossed my mind. I mean, I can say, yeah, world hunger, I get it. I mean, you know, poverty, I get it. You know, people who are refugees, I get it. People who are, you know, in war-torn countries, I get it. I understand it. It makes a bed in the same county I live in, a kid who literally sleeps in a hog house, in a brick hog house, and he's never had a bed, or a kid who sleeps on a treadmill, or a little girl who sleeps on the floor while she's sick home from school, and it just means the world to her to actually get a bed. I'm just going to tell you, I don't think sometimes we appreciate the level to which this nation has the capacity to give. And so, by the way, they pointed out to me, and then as they were walking out the door, their Facebook page, if you're on Facebook and you want to see it, their Facebook page, SHP, of course, Sleep in Heavenly Peace, at SHP Gadsden AL. That's SHP Gadsden AL. But that's the entire, their chapter does the entire northeastern part of the state. And the website, again, is www.shpbed.org. So you ought to check them out. And wow, I mean, just amazing stuff. Love that. Boomer, you already had one caller call in say he's going to that thing at Lowe's on Saturday morning, right?
Yep.
In Huntsville?
Yeah, Saturday morning is Brian.
Oh, that's cool. Brian, yeah. Thank you for that. That's very cool. Very cool. All right, folks, listen, I'm going to, I got to jump aside, though, and take care of some folks that, wait a minute, I got a text over here. What's Jimmy from Moulton saying? Jimmy from Moulton says, I work in Hartsell, and SHP is one of our main fundraising avenues. Good stuff, hard to drive with blurry eyes, dang allergies. Yeah, Jimmy, I get it, man. Good stuff. Listen, ZLA Solutions, and by the way, when I say these folks are my friends, you heard me mention quite a while or quite often there during the discussion with the folks from Sleep in Heavenly Peace, the Goodmans. Their friend Candy is a friend of mine. Candy works at ZLA Solutions. So all of the principals over at ZLA are friends of mine, Candy being one of them. And she's a volunteer regularly with Sleep in Heavenly Peace. But ZLA Solutions has been with this show since the day it began, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. They are doing an amazing job at getting jobs and people lined up. I mean, literally, if you're looking for a job here in the state of Alabama, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They got jobs posted all over the northern part of the state, especially. I mean, they're in multi-states now, but I'm talking about here locally. The northern part of the state, they're covered up. They got good jobs with major employers. But if you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, they can do that. I'm talking about all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary. I always say it, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. ZLA Solutions, that's their gig, man. Their gig is making your business better. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And tell them you heard about it here on Right Side Radio. Hey, listen, I'm going to jump forward. I'm going to cover a topic that I think tomorrow, I think tomorrow we're going to see the fruition of this because that's the deadline. It's got to be. So you probably heard, if you were listening yesterday too, you probably heard us talk about the fact that Elon Musk buying Twitter. So this whole section of the Triple Dipper, I'm skipping the number three, and I'm going to go out of order here. It's called Chief Twit. Chief Twit, because that's what he calls himself, the Chief Twit. He literally walked in yesterday to Twitter headquarters, just walked in unannounced, carrying a kitchen sink. I kid you not. If you haven't seen the video, it's out there. Go check it out. Walks into Twitter headquarters carrying a kitchen sink, and he says, "I'm here at Twitter. Let that sink in." Ah-ha-ha, dad joke. But nonetheless, what he was doing was basically saying, by doing that, he's basically saying, yeah, this deal's going through. I am buying Twitter. Well, this all started earlier this year. You remember, like, last spring? Elon Musk was just sick of the censorship, the, what do they call that, content moderation. He's sick of the content moderation over there at Twitter, where they've got whole staff that literally sits there, and all they do every day is go, I don't like that. No, you're blocked. I don't like that. No, you're blocked. Content moderation. It's the fancy word for censorship. It basically means they are the ones who get to decide what everybody gets to see. Now, the argument is, well, it's a privately owned company. They're allowed to screen. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. It's a privately owned company. It's also considered to be the company that roughly 71% of all Americans get their news from. 71% of all Americans, and I believe that was a Pew Research study, get their news by going to Twitter and finding news stories, downloading them, and reading them. So if Twitter doesn't want you to see a story, guess what they do? Suppress it and or block it. The classic example is talked about all the time, the Hunter Biden laptop story. Hunter Biden's laptop contains all kinds of nastiness, things that the president does not want to get out. And it all came to a head when just weeks before the 2020 election, the Hunter Biden laptop was discovered because the knucklehead took it to a computer repair shop and never went back and reclaimed it. And the guy said, hey, I got stuff on this. And he turned it into the FBI, who, by the way, still have it and haven't done a thing with it. That being said, the story broke on, I believe it was New York Post. What did Twitter do? I mean, first of all, imagine this. Can you imagine if stretch your imagination for a moment and imagine if Donald Trump Jr. had dropped off his laptop that had videos of him doing crack with prostitutes and emails with doing business with foreign nations and leveraging his father, Donald Trump Sr.'s, you know, influence to make money for the family while he was in office. If that laptop had come out, what do you think would have happened with that? It would have been the biggest story on every media outlet known to man. And yet, the exact same thing I just described, all those things, are on Hunter Biden's laptop. And the story broke on the New York Post right before the 2020 election. And what did Twitter do? They took down New York Post's Twitter account. Took it down altogether. And then, of course, collaborated with Google and Facebook to make sure the story couldn't get out. So big tech decided, hey, you know what? The vast majority of Americans get their news through us, and we're going to make sure the vast majority of Americans don't see this story. Enter Elon Musk this spring. Elon Musk comes in like a wrecking ball. He comes in like a rich man with a passion. He comes in just blowing the horn and moving forward. And he says, you know what? I think I'll just buy you guys out. And at first, Twitter board of directors said, well, no, we don't want you to, except they got a problem with it. The problem is they're a publicly traded company. They have shareholders who have a right to make a profit. And if somebody comes along and they bought it at $20 a share, I'm just throwing numbers out, and offers to buy it for $54 a share, which it is, what do you think that means? It means a windfall profit for the investors. And so suddenly Twitter, which is so woke and doesn't want anybody to unwoke them, is sitting there going, make a profit? I mean, that's not why we're here. Yes, you are here to make a profit because you have investors. You're not, it's not like, God, what was the guy's name who ran Twitter? Boomer, do you remember his name? I can't even remember his name right now. Jack Dorsey. That's it, Jack Dorsey. And it wasn't like Jack just owned all the shares himself. Nope. It was publicly traded, and they had a fiduciary obligation under the law to their shareholders, and suddenly they realized, oh, crap, we have got to deal with Elon Musk. So the deal went through. But to back the story up, just to make sure you know the facts here, so Elon Musk makes the offer. He pitches $44 billion purchase. Shareholders are ecstatic. But then Elon Musk says, and in the due diligence, I want to know about how many fake accounts you've got, because one of the things that happens on Twitter a lot is they pile on with fake accounts. If you think it's like funny to watch a mob scene in real life, watch the feeding frenzy when the piranhas on the fake accounts on Twitter get activated. And next thing you know, suddenly, all of a sudden, your conservative account's being bombarded with responses from accounts that really are all coming from one place, because one place, you know, shepherds 500 fake bots. Well, he wanted to know how many fake accounts there were. Oh, we don't have that information. Yes, you do. Oh, wait, we can't share that with you. Yes, you can. And it went to court. And so it went to court for the last few months. Well, the court determined this deal needs to go through. You have an obligation. You've made a letter of intent. And Elon goes, yeah, okay. And now that I'm in court, guess what? I got the information you said you wouldn't give me. Let's do it. And so he's back on. Now, just in the last week, by the way, I have been noticing that people are saying, man, my account is suddenly purging like followers. What is happening? I'll bet you what's happening is Elon's about to walk in the door. And so the people that push the buttons at Twitter are dumping bots before he gets there. That's what I think is happening. Me, I know I've lost some followers, although mine's not huge. I'm like 4,600 and something followers on Twitter. You can find me at @sen, S-E-N, @sen Phil Williams. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would guarantee you, that the reason why a lot of folks are losing a lot of accounts is because they just have all these followers that are fake accounts and they didn't know it, and the bots are being purged. That's my uneducated guess. All right, now that I've laid the groundwork, we're going to come back from the break here. Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We're going to come back from the break and talk about, okay, now that he walked in and set the kitchen sink down, what's going to happen and what are they saying? What's the chief twit going to do? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, hey, listen, I'm in this part of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it Chief Twit, because what I'm doing is going through what is happening with the fact that Elon Musk appears to be in the final stages of purchasing Twitter. Now, folks, this is a huge, huge purchase, a $44 billion purchase. Can you imagine? I can't even. How many zeros is that, Boomer? Just 40.
That's a lot of zeros.
I mean, stack them up. That's one of those. I have to actually write it down on paper to see how many zeros to make out of that. So what's happening? First of all, let's talk about what's happening at Twitter headquarters and what's happening with liberals. Why do they care so much? Why are they so freaked out by this? Well, because they've been able to control the narrative. What's that song by John Mayer? Singer songwriter John Mayer has a song. What's it called?
Are you saying that Waiting on the World to Change?
Waiting on the World to Change.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a line in that song that says, when they own the information, they can bend it all they want.
Yep,
and that's exactly what Twitter has done. it has claimed to own the information, and it has bent it all it wanted. Listen, here's the thing. Fox News has an article that came out today. Meltdown as Elon Musk enters Twitter headquarters ahead of takeover. So here's some of the reactions. First of all, you got some great reactions from conservatives who thought it was hilarious. I thought it was pretty funny. It says Musk is set to officially have ownership of the social media platform by Friday, as tomorrow. Shared a clip of himself walking into Twitter's lobby while carrying a sink. Entering Twitter HQ, let that sink in. Many Musk fans and other conservatives rallied behind the billionaire. Let freedom ring, GOP commentator Wesley Hunt reacted. And then Substack journalist Glenn Greenwald said, I can't even calculate how much money I'd pay to read the Slack chat of the Twitter employees today as they talk among themselves. Especially the thoughts of the, quote, content moderators. Those are the ones who are the censorship office. Conservative comedians, the Hodge twins, they're pretty funny. It says, Elon about to make Twitter great again. So there's that. But then it says in the article, others, however, did not see the humor in Musk's video. CNN analyst Juliette Kayyem just reacted and said, this is fundamentally cruel. Okay. He's paying $44 billion. He wants to carry a sink in the door.
He can carry a sink in the door.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
And a dishwasher and whatever else he can fit in the door. Just
he can bring whatever he wants.
Exactly. $44 billion. A guy named Matthew von Rohr, who writes for Der Spiegel, he said, tech billionaire with very strong, eccentric, and often half-baked views on politics and powered by an enormous ego is live-tweeting his takeover of this platform. Okay. Wow. I guarantee you Der Spiegel has a little bias in their writing. What do you think? It says, conservatives are widely supported of the Musk takeover as the billionaire tycoon has signaled his support for free speech principles, while liberals have sounded the alarm that Musk will now allow misinformation and hateful content to run rampant, and perhaps even reinstate former President Donald Trump's account. Lord, no, say it ain't so. End of time as we know it. Well, I tell you what, let me skip forward to another article that covers that exact, because they go straight to Trump.
Of course they do.
Of course they do. I mean, this is just...
They love to just tear down Trump. That's all they do.
TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. So CNBC comes out with an article dated October 7th. Here's what Musk's potential takeover of Twitter could mean for Trump. Like they went straight there. Elon Musk's renewed efforts to buy Twitter could pave the way for President Donald Trump's return to the platform that permanently banned him a year earlier. Yeah, the Ayatollahs still had their Twitter account, but the President of the United States did not. It says, if Musk follows through on the deal, if he stands by his prior plan to reverse Trump's ban, the Republican ex-president could potentially resume tweeting in time to make an impact on the November midterm election. Say it ain't so! Yeah, it goes on to talk about the purchase. It says, Twitter shut down Trump's account in the wake of the January 6th Capitol riot, when, of course, liberals blamed him for the Capitol riot. Trump, who now posts on a similar platform that he backed called Truth Social, has said he won't return to Twitter, even if he's allowed back on. He said, I was disappointed by the way I was treated by Twitter. I won't be going back on Twitter, he told CNBC in April, but many people believe that he wouldn't be able to resist because his account had 90 million followers. 90 million followers. And I got news.
That's a few.
That's a few. That's a lot of zeros again. I'm going to bet that he goes back on. More of this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. We're covering down on some ground and solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, it's 4:35 p.m. right now. It's go-home time for a bunch of you. So I know that some of y'all are thinking, all right, listen, what are we doing for dinner? I don't want to mess the kitchen up. What am I doing for dinner? Let me just describe for you the fact that Just Love Coffee Cafe is way more than just a, you know, a coffee shop. Not at all. Do they have coffee? Absolutely. They got award-winning coffees. Good stuff. I mean, Charlene calls some the treat coffees, like, you know, the lattes, the espressos, the cappuccinos. But then they've got the menu. The menu is unbelievable. I mean, they've got breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Stuff that you would not find anywhere else. How about this? Wraps, sandwiches, salads. What about the Jive Turkey Wrap, a flour tortilla turkey, bacon, provolone cheese, spinach, and creamy pepper jelly spread served with chips and a pickle spear? It goes on like that. It's not chicken fingers in a drive-thru like you might normally get. You can even call ahead and pick it up. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. And I wish you'd check them out. And by the way, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right. Hey, listen, I am in this part of the Triple Dipper that we call Chief Twit, talking about Elon Musk buying out Twitter and has literally just labeled himself as the Chief Twit. And the reaction is just comedy. It's like you could not write a Seinfeld episode like this. I got some callers on the line. Let me jump over real quick. Line three, Jeff from Indiana. Jeff Rowe, how you doing today, bud?
Doing great, Phil. Today's my Friday. Woohoo!
Woohoo! All right.
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
Well, good, man.
Hey, got a business proposition for you, just like with the Voltagra and stuff, you know.
What now?
You got all these people all these liberals going to be leaving Twitter. I mean, you know, hey, right now's the time we can make our own platform. Call it Unicorn, and we can save space. And the unicorn would be our mascot and everything, and you could have a, you know, we can put the conservatives in the closet if they don't like their speech, you know, since they're out of the closet, we can put the conservatives into the closet, you know.
So it's a safe space online for liberals who left Twitter, and we call it Unicorn.
There you go.
You may be onto something, brother. You may be. Although I'm just not sure I could stand hanging out there every day.
Yeah, but it's a financial. It would be great financially because, but I don't know who would advertise with us. But
maybe
some of these corporations.
there's a few that would probably advertise. I can just tell you. All right, Jeff. Enjoy your days off, brother. Hope you have a good one. Let me jump over to line four. Mark from Owens Crossroads. Hey, Mark, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good, Colonel.
Good, man. What's on your mind?
So, Elon,
yeah.
I got just a couple of things about him. He is a genius. I don't always agree with all of his politics, but I just love what the guy has done over the last couple of decades. Even when he built Tesla, you know, he relied on a lot of government incentives and things like that, but now he still ran it his way and did what he did. He's now kind of sticking it to the government, which I love. I know they're not happy about it. I know these woke corporations are not happy about it, but Elon's doing Elon. And then real quick, the 44 million thing?
Yeah.
Nine zeros, and here's a little fact for you. If you started spending $44 million from the time that Jesus Christ our Savior was born, you could spend $59,000 every single day to get to that figure.
Wow. So, it's $44 billion, not million. You're talking about 44 with a B, right?
That's a B.
Oh, my gosh. Mark, that puts it in perspective. Hey, thank you, brother. Thanks. Have a great day. Mark from Owens Crossroads. Put the numbers in perspective. What do you say? 50, how long? 59,000?
59,000 a day.
Per day since Jesus walked the earth, you could spend, and it would take that long to arrive at the $44 billion being spent to buy Twitter.
That's a hefty penny.
That's. I don't know if I could spend $59,000 a day.
Nah. I mean,
how many times in a row can you? I don't know how you do. Did you ever see that movie Brewster's Millions? Did you ever see that?
No.
Okay, it's an old movie. Comedian Richard Pryor, he and John Candy was in it, and he literally had this. He inherited this money, and he inherited millions, but the deal was he had to spend all of it in like 90 days. He had to spend the entire thing in 90 days, not a cent to his name, in order to get the real fortune. It was like his great uncle or whatever had just played games with him. And so he literally was trying to spend money as fast as he could, and all his friends thought he was crazy because he was wasting it. Well, no, I'm trying to spend it. And he got to where he couldn't find anything else to spend it on. He was like running out of things to spend it on. Wow. And I don't think Elon has that trouble yet.
No, not yet.
He's gonna get there if he doesn't watch out, though. I'm looking over on the text line. The 90 million followers, Jerry from Meridianville, that's talking about the 90 million followers that Trump has on his account, says, I bet none of those 90 million followers were bots. I don't know. I bet a few of them were. What do we got here? I don't know what that was about. I'm going to move on now. Listen, I got an article here that came off of Business Insider. Business Insider, headline. I'm a Twitter employee. Here's what it's like at the company a day before Musk's purchase deadline. It came out today. Interesting. So it's basically somebody just wrote in and they ran the piece in Business Insider about what an employee feels like working at Twitter right now. I mean, come on, folks. Is it that slow on the news? Elon Musk, it says, is obsessed with puns. That's what I took away from the viral. This is the employee talking. That's what I took away from the viral video of his walking into the office with a kitchen sink, like he's saying, let that sink in. But he says the people at the office are talking a lot about the fact that Elon is saying he's going to lay off 75% of the staff. Now, there was a separate article, by the way, that I had yesterday that said over 500 employees have already left in the last 90 days. 500 employees. And Boomer, you looked it up. What do we have there? How many employees do they have?
Well, the last I saw was like 2018, and there were like 3,900.
Oh, God. Okay. So we could probably afford to lose a few, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So the talking around the office is, what do we do with that? He said, when I first heard that, my colleagues and I gathered to do some quick napkin calculation. They work at Twitter. They didn't write it on a napkin. They probably scratched out a new algorithm on their
they created a bot, and yeah, then it did it for them.
Thank you. There you go. Perfect. They say it seems like on the high level, he's going to cut costs through salary and wages. Well, you think? It's called running a business. Most people think layoffs are going to be pretty immediate. I don't think our site reliability engineers need to be worried. No, I agree. They're going to want to keep the site up, the guys who got to keep it running. On the other hand, he talks about some departments that are probably first on the chopping block. He did not mention the content moderation staff, but I am betting that the concrete moderation staff are the first on the list to go. He says, I don't think my colleagues and I have a good model for how volatile he is. And I can see that rocking the boat, especially if he makes more comments that make people say, what the hey? He said, I think the strongest reactions have died down over time, with many of the people that were most skeptical of him having already left. Everyone who stayed is deciding to see where it goes. He says, as an employee, I'm still cautiously optimistic about Elon Musk taking over the company, but it's all contingent upon how indiscriminate he is and when he lays off the 75% of the staff. In other words, that was the biggest nothing article I've ever heard. We heard he's coming. He's going to lay some people off. We don't know what to think. We'll have to wait and see. That's what the article just basically said to you. That was a nothing burger. That's like one of those that I printed out. I thought, well, I got nothing from this. Okay. But you need to know, too, by the way, the reason why we know it's going to happen, aside from the fact that Elon Musk has now marched in carrying the sink, right, is the fact that steps have already been taken on Wall Street to suspend trading on Twitter stock. So, you know, I don't consider myself to be, you know, a Wall Street expert. My studying on this says that from an article called Benzinga, a website called Benzinga, Twitter shares to be suspended on the New York Stock Exchange as Elon Musk's buyout deadline nears. What that means for investors. What it's saying is they freeze it in place because it gets very volatile at the last second. And in order to protect the current investors from having a bottom out of their stock as the trade goes through, in order to prevent people from pirating, they literally step in under Section 12, the Securities Exchange Act of 34, and literally freeze the stock. So right now, Twitter's trading has been suspended on the New York Stock Exchange, which they can do for up to 10 days, which means it's clearly indicated this deal is going through. Elon is walking in with a letter of intent to make it happen. But the government's not happy. The Biden administration is not happy. Well, I got news. The Biden administration is not happy. I'm happy. But it says the Biden administration is not happy. Reuters reports, as of last week, Biden administration officials are discussing whether the United States should subject some of Elon Musk's ventures to a national scrutiny, including the deal for Twitter. Yeah. And SpaceX's Starlink satellite network, and Bloomberg News reported this on Thursday, citing people familiar with the matter. I hate it when they do that. People familiar with the matter. That's just crap. The SpaceX chief in recent times has taken to Twitter to announce his proposals to end Russia's war in Ukraine. Also said SpaceX cannot indefinitely fund its Starlink internet service in Ukraine. The discussions to review Musk's ventures are at an early stage, sources told Bloomberg, adding that officials in the U.S. government are weighing what tools, if any, are available that would allow the federal government to... So what this basically means is, hey, wait a minute. Our cash cow went away. He bought that thing. Now we can't control the narrative on Hunter Biden's laptop. What do we do? Let's subject him to antitrust litigation. Let's subject him to scrutiny by the Committee on Foreign Investments in the United States. What they say and they're looking at is whether or not it involves foreign investors buying at levels that are not otherwise allowed. I got news. Elon Musk has been doing this for a while. I feel certain that it's wired tight. He can pay the attorneys to do what's necessary. And all of this shows, in my opinion, is that the Biden administration is scared. The libs are scared. And so what are they going to try and do? Potentially weaponize government to try and bring this thing around to a place where they're comfortable with it. That should tell you everything you need to know. Wow. All right, Boomer, take us to the last break of the day, brother. We will do that right now and come right back. Had an amazing show so far, especially that one-hour interview we just did earlier with the Goodmans, Tommy and Valerie Goodman, with an amazing organization called Sleep in Heavenly Peace that changes kids' lives by giving them their very first bed and just sees kids that shouldn't have to be living like that in an America like we love. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, I had a couple of folks text in and say, hey, what happened to the live stream today? We don't know. Bottom line is we don't know. Something with the video host at the service that we use to backstop everything on our website, it ain't clicking today. And so we're working on it. But
It's just not. Yeah, this it just didn't want to stream today. But it's recording and it'll be up about an hour after the show.
It's having a streamcation.
That's what it is.
A streamcation. Yes. Okay. Those of you that texted in saying, "Hey, we can't see the video," we know, and then we apologize for that. We're not sure how to explain it, but we'll have it back up ASAP. JT from Lacey Springs, he texted in and says, "Musk's next visit will be with floor polish. He'll be waxing like nobody's seen." I'm not sure how to take that, but okay. What we got here? Brewster. Thank you. He's correcting me. Robbie from Audiana, Tennessee, says Brewster in that movie I talked about, Brewster's Millions. Brewster had 30 days to spend $20 million in order to receive $200 million. That's right. Thank you, sir. Robbie, you see, there's people out there that's seen these movies.
I just hadn't seen it.
Well, but I know you're a movie guy.
I am a movie guy. So I'm actually surprised I haven't seen that one.
It's a crazy movie. If I remember, he's a minor league baseball player on a do-nothing team, and his catcher is John Candy. You remember John Candy?
Oh, I do.
So John Candy is the guy that comes with him, you know, and becomes like his right-hand man. And I bet that movie's made in the 80s.
Okay, but I'll check it out.
Brewster's Millions.
Brewster's Millions.
Yeah. Leanne from Huntsville said, "I wish we had $59,000 for heavenly sleep." I agree. I totally agree. Paul from Athens just texted in. Apparently, Brewster's Millions has hit a note. He texted in and says, John Candy kept investing it. That's right. In the movie, Brewster was trying to lose the money, and John Candy kept investing it in things that were paying off. He's like, dude, stop. I remember one of them, they were like, you can't invest in stupid stuff. He goes, no, I love this plan where we put motors on an iceberg and sail them to places where the Sahara Desert, where they need water. And they're like, stop it. Well, they were all successful. They kept working.
Oh, no. You're like, no.
Yeah. I always thought that the putting motors on a iceberg was kind of genius. But anyway, neither here nor there. All right, listen, Robbie from Oneonta, by the way, Boomer, you put it to Oneonta, Tennessee. He just said, I'm in Oneonta, Alabama, baby. I was wondering if there was an Oneonta, Tennessee. So, yeah, we'll change that one. Robbie, we got you down, man. I know where Oneonta, Alabama is. Passed through Altoona on the way there multiple times. Beautiful little town, too, by the way. All right. Hey, listen, it's been an amazing day, and I got to tell you, I have an amazing weekend lined up. Pray tell, why is that? Because my little girl's getting married this weekend. And, so after being here with the folks from Sleep in Heavenly Peace, I can just tell you it is like hypercharged my emotions, and now I got to go get my girl married this weekend. But it's going to be good, and I can't tell you how exciting it is. We are super pleased with who she found, and as we lay on the plans for the weekend, I got to tell you, this is we've been praying for him longer than we've known him, and we are absolutely assured of God's provision in this, and feel like we hit a winner. Paul from Athens already sent in a congratulations. Paul, thank you, man. I appreciate that very much. But yeah, that's my weekend. Ain't no SEC football, ain't no mowing no grass, ain't no nothing else. Most important thing in life right now is that little girl's wedding. So we're gonna see that happen, and glad of it and excited for it. And Charlene and I are also looking forward to the day after. But I remember being at your wedding.
Yeah,
that's been a few years.
It's been a few years.
I mean, here you are with a family and everything. But
I know. I'm excited for y'all this weekend.
Well, we are, and we're just praying for good weather. It's an outdoor wedding, so we're praying for good weather.
Well, I'll be praying. That's a big deal. I mean, I remember my wedding was outside, and that's all we prayed for weeks beforehand.
Yeah,
it was good weather.
And then we walked down the hill to that pavilion where they had the reception, kind of at that covered pavilion area, right?
Yeah, it was like through the house, and then they had a different. Yeah, it was up there in close to Nashville in Arrington Vineyards.
I was about to ask you what the name of that place was. Mm-hmm. That was beautiful.
It was pretty awesome.
How did y'all find that?
It was just a place right up there. Big and Rich, John Rich actually owns it, I believe. And it's just a vineyard up there in Nashville. I think they actually stopped doing weddings now, though.
Oh, really?
So,
after y'all, they broke the mold.
I guess so. But Arrington Vineyards is great.
Y'all threw down too hard while you were there.
Threw
they
down
decided
too hard.
No more of that.
But they do have some awesome things going on up there all the time.
But I do remember Stephen Curtis Chapman sang at your wedding, which was actually very cool.
Yes, that was pretty epic.
Got to get him on the show, man. We got to get him on the show. Paul from Athens, of course, said congratulations. Allie from Athens also said congratulations, Colonel, and may God give you grace walking down that aisle. Thank you, sister. That's the other thing to pray for, is walking that little girl down the aisle. All right, folks, it's been an amazing show. It's been a show where I hope you gained some insight into what a great place we live in. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't mind saying it. Jesus is Lord. America is great. Alabama is beautiful. Life is worth living. Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll see you back here tomorrow.